a sort of primitive airlock. The vents are filled with air, but they can be opened to vacuum from here in the control center. Then he recalled that the intruder who dropped in on the water factory was in a spacesuit. Someone was replaying the security camera view of the nanolab. Two spacesuited figures dropped in from the overhead vent. Zimmerman, Doug suddenly realized. "You've killed Professor Zimmerman," he bellowed into his microphone. "You've killed Professor Zimmerman!" Sitting alone in the cab of his tractor, Colonel Giap heard Stavanger's agonized wail. "What are you doing to us?" the moon base leader howled. "Why? Why kill that old man?" "Why indeed?" Giap asked himself. "Because a politician in New York ordered me to do it, and I obey my orders. A soldier must obey orders, no matter how distasteful they may be. Without iron discipline, no army can endure." "This isn't war," Stavanger was shouting in his earphones. "It's butchery. It's indiscriminate slaughter." "Yes," Giap said, so softly that he wasn't certain he said it at all. "Their intention is to wipe out Moonbase and everyone in it."
"You're going to kill us all?"
"Not I," Giap said. "This is not my doing. Not my wish. I am only following orders."
"So was Himmler and Bormann and all the other Nazis." Stavanger's voice was acid.
Giap was silent for a moment, thinking, "I have no orders that forbid me from telling him what he is facing. Foray did not command me to silence. Perhaps..." The colonel heard himself say, "You are being attacked by suicide bombers. Fanatics. Not peacekeeper troops. Volunteers from the new morality." His words came in a rush, as if he were afraid that if he stopped for an instant, took a breath, or even a thought, he would close his mouth and say no more. "There are seven of them, one each for your water factory, environmental control center, electrical distribution station, control center and farm. Two for the nanotechnology laboratories." Stavanger's voice was instantly calm, hard. "They're coming in through the old plasma vents." Giap nodded inside his helmet as he said, "Yes. And even if we surrender, they're going to blow up so much of Moonbase that we'll all be killed." Again, Giap nodded, but this time he couldn't force even the one syllable past his lips. He turned off his radio connection with Moonbase. Further discussion would be fruitless, purposeless, ridiculous, he told himself. Now it is up to the people of Moonbase to defend themselves if they can. I have told them more than I should. Now we will see what they can do with my information. If anything. A screech of metal on metal startled Edith from her nap. She jerked up to a sitting position, blood running cold. Again! Like fingernails across a chalkboard. As she blinked and looked around the darkened studio, a man in a spacesuit floated down from the shadowy ceiling and landed with a thump that buckled his knees. Edith got up from Zimmerman's wide couch and went to the man, helped him to his feet.
"What are you doing here?" she asked. "What's going on?"
His reply was muffled by his helmet. Something about the control center, she thought.
"Can't hear you. Lift up your visor. You don't need to be sealed up inside your suit."
He lifted his visor. He was young, oriental. "This is the control center?" he asked. Edith shook her head.
"You're way off base. The control center's almost half a..."
She stopped. She realized that this stranger was wrapped in what looked like explosives. The main door to the water factory was warped by the explosion. Ginny Anson had to get two of the biggest men she could find among the maintenance crew to push the damn door open. Inside was nothing but carnage. A smoking wreckage of pipes and pumps. Water gushing out into a crater ripped into the rock floor. Water. Being wasted, sloshing around across the floor, running out of pipes blasted loose and dangling from shattered supports. Coughing as she advanced into the smoky ruins, Anson saw that the blast had dug a crater into the rock floor, and water from the broken pipes was rushing into it.
"Get those pipes shut off," she said to the maintenance team. "Turn off that water flow."
"Water could leak into the tunnel below," one of the men said. Anson shook her head.
"Doesn't look like the crater's deep enough. The blast didn't penetrate into the lower level. A woman engineer pointed out,
Maybe so, but the water's flowing into the piping and conduits between levels. Could short out the electrical lines.
Jesus on jet skis, Anson growled. If water seeps into the main distribution station.
Blackout, said the engineer.
First thing is to stop the incoming flow, she said, pointing to the maintenance crew already working on the ends of the shattered pipes.
This water's come all the way from the South Pole, Anson told herself, and some brain-dead geek has to blast the factory apart and splash it all over the base.
It was sacrilegious to her, to any of the old-time lunatics, to waste precious water.
How can we remove the water that's already pooling in the crater? The engineer asked. It must be seeping along the conduits already.
Anson's answer was immediate.
We vacuum it out.
Huh? Doug sat frozen in front of his console, his mind spinning. Suicide bombers. Religious fanatics. How do we stop them? They've already knocked out the water factory and Zimmerman's lab. The EVC and the electrical center and the farm are farther inside the base. The kamikazes haven't had time to reach that far yet. But the colonel said one of them is supposed to hit the control center. Why isn't he here yet?
Bam, he said, turning to Gordette. Get teams of people to guard the EVC.
And the other points, I know, Gordette replied. We can use the guns we captured. Shoot the bastards soon as they open the ceiling vents.
If you can do that without setting off their explosives.
Gordette shrugged. Don't make that much never mind one way or the other, does it? Reluctantly, Doug admitted.
No, I guess not. But we've got to try something.
True enough, Gordette agreed.
A Comtech's voice in his earphone called, Urgent call from Anson at the water factory.
What is it, Ginny? Doug asked.
There was no video from the water factory, only Anson's tight, excited voice.
You've got to open the plasma vents to vacuum, she said without preamble. That's the only way to suck the loose water out of here. Otherwise, it's going to seep down to the electrical distribution station and short out the whole goddamned base, I betcha.
Open the vents to vacuum?
Right.
But you've got people in the water factory.
We'll be out of here in 5 minutes, tops. The place is a complete wreck. Got a team turning off the incoming stream, but there's a crater filling up with water and it's seeping into the pipes and conduits between levels.
Doug glanced at the big electronic schematic of the entire base on the wall above him. The water factory was dark, and he saw that one section of living quarters on the lower level had already blacked out.
We're getting shorts in residential tunnel two, he said.
Open the vents, Anson urged, before the whole damned base shorts out.
Will do, he said, adding silently, if the controls still work.
Give me 5 minutes to get my people out of here, Anson added.
Will do, Doug repeated. It took almost that long to call up the ancient program that operated the plasma vent baffles. There were two out at the mountain face, and single baffles spaced almost haphazardly along the old vents, hinged to flap open in one direction only, outward, like the valves in a human body's arteries. He remembered that many of those partitions had been very tough to open when he'd crawled through the vents 7 years earlier. Hinges caked with lunar dust, almost welded shut. Will their motors work? Will they respond to the program commands?
A shadow fell across him and he looked up. Gordette was standing over him with an assault rifle held across his chest. Before Doug could ask, Gordette smiled grimly and said,
I'm guarding the control center. Security sent teams out to the other areas to guard them. They told me to stay here with you. They didn't want me with them.
Doug didn't have time to worry about Gordette's feelings. Blinking with a sudden idea, he said, as much to himself as to Gordette,
If we open all the plasma vents, we might flush out any of the kamikazes crawling through them.
Gordette's brows rose a half centimeter, but he said nothing.
Especially if we start pumping high-pressure air into the far end of each of the vents, Doug muttered. We'll turn those old vents into wind tunnels.
He called Vince Falcone over to him, hurriedly explained what he wanted, and then hunched over his keypad and began banging away at it.
Plasma Vent Tunnel. It was easy to become disoriented in the dark, empty plasma vent tunnels. Crawling along inside a spacesuit with 100 kilos of explosives strapped to your waist did not make the job any simpler.